إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the chapters of the Quran that all of us have memorized and we frequently recite in our prayers is Surah At-Teen. And in today's khutbah, I wanted to elaborate on the meanings of this surah, a surah that almost every one of us recites on a daily basis, and yet very few of us truly understand the meanings, the translation, the implications of. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the only way to attain true consciousness during salah is to understand what you're praying. If you don't know what you're saying, how can you possibly achieve the amounts of piety that are required when we are in our prayers? So in today's khutbah, I want to illustrate this short chapter of the Quran. It is one of the earliest revelations. It is one of the first 20 revelations that was revealed in early Mecca. And it is a surah that has much profound benefit and wisdom for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Allah swears by four different things. وَالتِّين وَالزَّيْتُون وَطُورِ سِينِين وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Allah gives an oath. Allah swears by four things. And when Allah gives an oath, the purpose is twofold. The first is to draw attention to the object that Allah swears by. You see, we as human beings, we must swear only by Allah. I swear by Allah, I'm telling the truth. We can only swear by Allah, because only Allah is worthy of such respect. But Allah, being the Creator, has the right to swear by Himself and by His creation. And when He swears by His creation, then whatever oath He gives, that creation attains a sanctity, a holiness. Allah only swears by those objects that are truly magnificent. For example, Allah swears by the sun and the moon. Allah swears by the creation. And so in this verse, Allah is swearing by these four things. So the first object, or the first reason of why Allah swears, is to give dignity, to give holiness to that which Allah gives an oath by. And the second is to draw emphasis to what He's about to say. Even though everything Allah says is true, nothing Allah says is a lie. But to emphasize, Allah gives an oath. Allah gives a qasam. In Arabic it's called a qasam, a swear, an oath. So Allah Azza wa Jal is swearing by four things in order to emphasize one verse that's going to happen. The fifth verse, Allah is giving emphasis to it by swearing by four things. So let us talk about what these four things are. وَالطُّورِ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَالطُّورِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَالطُّورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ, everybody knows what a teen is in the Arabic language, and that is the fig. And the zaytun is the olive. So the fig and the olive, what is the fig and the olive? Scholars say the reference is not to these fruits and these plants. The reference is to where they primarily grow on earth, and that is Jerusalem and the lands around Jerusalem. The reference is not immediately to the plants themselves, but rather the land that is associated with these plants. Because in Arabia, the only place they got figs and olives from was Jerusalem. And of course, to this day, the figs and the olives of this land are considered to be the best in the world. If you go to a very fancy restaurant, they will actually say, these are olives imported from basically the Sham region. These are considered to be the best on earth. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives a qasam by them. Not just to signify these two fruits, but to signify the land that they come from. So Allah is swearing by Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is the place where the majority of God's prophets have come. Most of the prophets are associated with Jerusalem. And the culmination of this is, of course, Jesus Christ Himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a qasam by Jerusalem. This is one interpretation. Another interpretation says, Wat-teen is a reference to where Noah's ark landed. And Az-Zaytun is a reference to Jerusalem. So by this interpretation, Wat-teeni waz-Zaytun is referencing the Prophet Nuh and the Prophet Isa. Noah and Isa. Wat-Tur Sinin, there's only one interpretation for this, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is only famous for one thing, and that is the revelation that Allah gave to the Prophet Musa, the Prophet Moses. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, the second or the third qasam is about the Sinai Peninsula or Tur Sinai. And Tur Sinai is of course the place where Allah spoke with Musa alayhi salam. So the reference here is to the Mosaic message, the message of the Prophet Musa. So Wat-teeni waz-Zaytuni wa Tur Sinin wa hadha al-balad al-amin. And this city that you are currently living in, i.e. Mecca, this city that you are currently living in, the peaceful city. Allah called it Al-Amin, the peaceful city, the city of security, the city of non-violence. Why? Because Mecca, Allah says in the Quran, whoever enters it shall be safe. No one is allowed to harm anybody in Mecca. And Mecca is the sacred city of this world. So, according to the first interpretation, Wat-teeni waz-Zaytun, Jerusalem. وَطُورِ سِينِينَ Mount Sinai of Moses. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ Mecca. This is one interpretation. And so the reference is to the three basically holy places of this world. Or the three places that Allah primarily communicated with mankind. According to the other interpretation, Nuh alayhi salam is included. وَالْتِينَ would be Nuh, because according to one interpretation, Teen is the name of a place where the Noah's Ark landed. This is one interpretation. So according to that interpretation, these qasams, these oaths, are regarding many prophets. In fact, the five major prophets that walked the face of this earth. And these are, of course, as we all know, Nuh or Noah. Musa, Moses. Of course, Nuh and Musa are referenced directly. Isa by Jerusalem, Jesus. And then Ibrahim and the Prophet ﷺ are both linked to Mecca. Because of course, Mecca was declared holy by Ibrahim. And then the Prophet ﷺ lived and was born and raised in Mecca. And so, one interpretation says three lands are being referenced. Another interpretation says five prophets are being referenced. And there is no contradiction between these, because these five prophets are associated with these three lands. And the point is that Allah is saying, He is swearing by every revelation He has revealed to mankind. He is giving a qasam by what Noah received, by what Abraham received, by what Moses received, by what Jesus received, by what the Prophet Muhammad received. So Allah is saying, swearing by every single communication given to man. Because we know these are the five main communications. What is he swearing? What is the object? What is the purpose of the qasam? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ This is why Allah is building the emphasis. In the beginning, it's cryptic. وَالْتِينِ وَالْزَّيْتُونَ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدَ أَمِينَ So, by this cryptic oaths, the mind is immediately interested. What is going on? What is the reference to At-Teen and Az-Zaytun, to Mount Sinai, to this city? What does Allah want to say? Then Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ Surely, we have created man in the best of all fashions and forms and shapes. This is the object of the qasam. This is why Allah is giving these oaths one after the other. Allah is swearing by Jerusalem, by Mount Sinai, by Mecca. Allah is swearing by Moses and Jesus and Abraham and Noah. Allah is swearing by every revelation given to man. That Allah is saying laqad, and laqad is, as we all know, an emphasis in Arabic. So this is emphasizing what does not even need any emphasis, because it has been preceded by four oaths. In other words, Allah gives four oaths, one after the other, to build up the climax. And then Allah emphasizes it for a fifth time, لَقَدْ And what is the point Allah wants us to emphasize? I have created you in the most perfect, in the most beautiful, in the most majestic manner. And from this verse, we learn that the Islamic perspective of man is that man is the most noble of all creatures. Man is the most noble of all creations of Allah. Man is at the pinnacle of every other creature around us. And in fact, Allah explicitly says in the Quran that He has created for you, meaning for man, all that is in the heavens and earth. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ For you He has created. All the other elements may be subjugated. All the other animals may be subjugated by you. So Allah has made us the superior creation. And this is something that we don't need to even emphasize because it's well known. The only creation that has language, poetry and arts, the only creation that has civilization, the only creation that is able to ponder over the creation. No other creation of Allah can think about the creation, can they? They're animals, they're living their lives just like animals. The only creation that can study the creation. The only creation that can appreciate the beauty of the creation. This is man. And so Allah blessed us intellectually. Allah blessed us in being able to control the natural resources. And of course, with control comes responsibility. But nonetheless, we have the power to effect that change. Allah gave us that power. Allah blessed us to be the most noble of all creation. And the scholars here comment on, physically we are the best. Intellectually we are the best. Emotionally, from every element, Allah gave us what He gave no other creation. لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ Even in terms of the dignity of our looks, the majesty of our creation, everything, Allah Azza wa Jal has perfected it. So, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ The best of all is man. Then what? ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ This is a melodramatic follow-up. That if you were to stop over here, it is a shocking verse. That from the height of the high, we have caused him to go to the lowest of the low. And if you were to stop here immediately, the whole verse is very climactic. The whole verse is very melodramatic. One verse after another, it keeps on calling for your attention. It keeps on causing you to ponder. Oh, we created man in the best of all images. We feel a sense of pride. Then the next verse, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ Then he was caused to regress, to fall down to the lowest of the low. How so? All of that pride is deflated. What happened? Why did we lose that status? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا He clarifies what's going on. But one group remains at the top. One group stays where Allah wanted them to stay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted man to be at a position. What is that position? The best of all positions. The highest of all, the pinnacle. That is what Allah created us to be. But we from our own actions and our own insolence and arrogance, we turn our backs from that position of gratitude. We turn our backs away from that position of honor and we cause ourselves to fall to the very lowest of the low. أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ Why? How? What have we done? There's one group that remains there. And Allah describes them because they are our role models. Allah doesn't describe the ones who fell off. Allah describes the one who remain where Allah put them. That's our original position. That's where we're supposed to be. How do we retain that status? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ The only ones who remained at the pinnacle were those who had good faith and righteous action. Those are the ones who are where they're supposed to be. Who are where Allah placed them. And that is the highest of the high. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who have good faith and follow that up in good actions, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ They shall have a never-ending reward. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ So how does one retain the dignity that Allah created us upon? You see, we firmly believe that Allah created man in the best of the best. This is our position that Allah willed for us. But we have a choice. Do we wish to retain that position? And do we wish to remain the best of the best? Or are we going to reject that status? And when we reject it, there is no middle ground. That's the point here of the verse. If you turn your back on the blessing, If you turn away from that status, the only other status is asfala safilin, the lowest of the low. There is no intermediate. There is no middle category. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that those who follow their own desires without any guidance from Allah, those who follow, live lives like animals, Allah says, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are actually animals, balhum adal. Rather, they are more misguided than animals themselves. The point being, the Quran is very clear. Allah has blessed you with a mind, with an intellect. Allah has blessed you with a spirit, with passions, with himma. Allah has blessed you with nobility. If you choose to ignore those blessings, and you still live your life as if you didn't have those blessings, well then you are worse than those who weren't given those blessings in the first place, and that is the animals. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ, Allah says. They are like the cattle, rather they are worse than the cattle because they have willfully, knowingly rejected the blessing of intelligence, the blessing of thinking and contemplation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the only group that remains in status quo that Allah wants us are those who have good faith and good actions. Now we all know that on our religion is based upon two fundamental pillars. Good belief, iman, and good actions, amal. There are many faiths in the world whose emphasis is only on faith. All you need to do is to believe and you're going to be saved. We don't believe this. There are many other philosophies, including the modern philosophy of humanism, that basically says all you need to do is to do good deeds and you're a good person. As long as you're good to others, then you shall be good in the eyes of God. We in our religion say no. Both of these conditions need to be met. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You need to have good inner belief and thought. And you also need to follow that up in good actions and good deeds. Both of them go hand in hand. Those Muslims who believe in Islam but don't act upon it, the Quran is very clear. These are not the real Muslims. You haven't done amal salih. Alternatively, those who don't believe in any theology, they don't have any vision, they don't have any belief in a divinity. They don't have any sense of morality, but they might be good in their personal lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes them for not thinking. Did you think this came out of nothing? Where did you come from? Is there not a God? Is there not a creator? Believe in Him and humble yourselves to Him. This is the basic message of Surah Teen and the entire Quran. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. What will be the reward of those who remain status quo? فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. They shall be rewarded with a reward that will never stop. Continually, perpetually rewarded. Notice, Allah does not describe the quantity or the quality of the reward. Allah does not tell us when the rewards will start. Allah does not tell us what the reward is. Why? Because those who are truly righteous with good faith and good deeds, Allah will bless them with every blessing imaginable and conceivable. And the blessings will begin right here and now, before the next world. You see, many Muslims, they think incorrectly that if I'm a good Muslim, I'll have to sacrifice this world for the next. I'll have to live a difficult life, deprived, and Allah will bless me in the next world. And the opposite, the Muslims who are not that righteous, they'll say, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this world, I'll face the consequences of the next. But in this verse, Allah says, true blessings and true enjoyment, both of this world and the next, shall only be attained by those who have genuine faith and good deeds. And this is because a blessed life is a life of peace and comfort. And peace is in the heart, not in one's possessions. So when one turns to Allah and embraces Allah, when one makes Allah one's priority, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them in this world with the peace of heart and mind. Not necessarily with material blessings. It isn't the case that the righteous man is the richer man in terms of material possessions, but the righteous man is the richer man in terms of the contentment of the heart. in terms of living a peaceful life. And Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Those who are truly righteous and do good deeds, their rewards will start right now, and they're never gonna stop. أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. They're never gonna stop. As long as you live, you will be blessed. When you die, your grave will itself become a blessing. When you are resurrected in the next life, the blessings will continue. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Never stopping. There's no intermittent intervals for those who are righteous. The righteous person enjoys the blessings of Allah continuously from the moment he chooses to be righteous. So Allah then concludes the verse, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ. It's a powerful Arabic here. And the English can only be translated very roughly as, so then, what possibly will cause you to reject the deen? فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ. How could you possibly reject the deen? What is the meaning of deen here? Most scholars say the meaning of deen is the day of judgment, as in مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. How can you reject there's going to be a judgment day? Do you really think that there's never going to be a hereafter? Don't you realize that the one who created this world once can recreate it in a different fashion again? That's what Allah tells us in the Quran. So why would you then reject judgment day? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most hakeem? And hakeem also has two meanings to it. One of the meanings of hakeem is the one who is the best judge from hukum. The one who is the best judge. So Allah is saying, how can you reject a judgment day when Allah is the most best of all judges? And you yourselves know that in this world, judgment is not always just from according to what we see. In this world, many righteous people die. Many unrighteous people flourish. In this world, many tyrants continue to live. And many of those who are righteous and God-fearing don't seem to flourish. If Allah is the best of all judges, when and where will these people get their rewards or their punishments? So Allah is saying, can't you see that there will be a time and place where the ultimate judge, the أحكم الحاكمين, the King of Kings, will judge every person the way they deserve? Because obviously we all admit, we all know, in this world, those who embezzle, those who cheat, those who steal, many times they get away. Many times they get away with it, right? Where is the justice of Allah? We don't see it. Sometimes we do in this world. Sometimes we don't. So Allah is saying, if Allah is the most powerful of all judges, the most just of all judges, then why don't you believe in a day of judgment? There's another meaning of ad-deen. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. And that is the religion. As we know, deen also means religion. And deen means day of judgment. So Allah is saying, so then how could you possibly reject the religion of God? فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. Why would you turn away from something that is so simple, and that is believing in Allah and being good? What is there that is difficult and complicated? فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. In this case, the meaning of hukum, of hakim, would change to hikmah, which means wisdom. Is not Allah the most wise of all those who are wise? أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ will then become the most wise. In other words, this religion is a religion that is appealing to your intellect, to your senses. In other words, look at the creation around you. The perfection, the majesty of the creation. Only one who is all wise could have created it. How can you reject this? Where did you come from? Look at your own bodies. We created you in the best of all forms. Allah is أحكم الحاكمين. How could you reject the message coming from Him? And of course, both of these interpretations are valid. The one of them being deen, meaning the day of judgment. The other one deen, meaning religion. In this short surah, notice every single major pillar of Islam is referenced. And this is the beauty of the Quran. It is so profound. First and foremost, as we know, there are three primary pillars of our religion. And that is Tawheed, Risala, and Akhirah. Tawheed, believing in Allah alone. Worshipping Him alone. Risala, believing that He has sent prophets to us. And Allah references Tawheed and Risala very clearly in this chapter. Allah mentions the prophets, Jerusalem, Mecca, Mount Sinai. Allah mentions Moses, Ibrahim, Jesus, all of them with the same message. And then Akhirah, which is the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the deen, which is the day of judgment. So in this surah, the three fundamental pillars of our religion, believing in God, believing in the prophets, and then believing in Judgment Day, they are all emphasized. The primary message of the surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the perfection of our creation, the physical perfection, should also be followed up with the spiritual perfection of our iman and faith in Allah. Just like Allah created us physically, intellectually the best, we should also be spiritually the best. Whoever chooses to turn his or her back on that spirituality, whoever chooses to live a heedless, godless life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person, we have caused him to become the lowest of the low. Because merely having a civilization and culture doesn't make you the best. Being the most conscious of Allah is the one that makes you the best, according to the teachings of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this surah, we learn that in order to sustain that high level that Allah intended for us, the only way to do so is to turn to Him, have faith in Him, and do good deeds for His sake. When we do so, Allah will bless us in this world and the next. When we choose to ignore this and turn our backs upon this blessing, then we have turned our backs on the biggest blessing that Allah has given us, and because of this we will lose out this world and the next. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa al-dhikr al-hakim aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. If we can move forward, please, there are people coming on the outside. Alhamdulillah al-Wahid al-Ahad al-Fard al-Samad al-Ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad wa ba'du. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that we have created man in the best of all fashions. Some of our scholars have commented and they have said that Allah has given man three faculties. And in all of these faculties, He has made man the perfect combination of these three. The perfect combination of these three. The first of these faculties is the physical body. He has created us in a physical body. And we share this with every other physical creation, other than the jinn. We share this with every other physical creation. The second is the faculty of the ruh, which is our soul, which is our spirit inside of us. And we share this as well with every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is living. And the third faculty is the faculty of the intellect, of the aql, Allah calls it in the Quran. And this faculty as well, of course animals possess it as well to a degree, but it is only manifested truly in human beings. And some creation have been given one of these three more than the other. For example, the angels don't have any physical bodies, they are spiritual beings. The jinns as well, they have no physical body. The animals have all three, but to a very small level, they have the ruh and the aql. They have ruh. It's not that the animals don't have ruh. And they have aql, but their ruh and aql is much less, much more diminished than ours. The only creation that has all three of these faculties merged together, all three of these different dimensions, and that is the physical body, that is the spiritual soul, and that is the intellectual capabilities, is that of man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected these three in a manner that is not found in any other creation. Additionally, Allah azza wa jal has given due right to all three of these faculties in the religion of Islam. And this is, we consider to be the perfection of our religion. That Allah has given the rights to the body, and the rights to the soul, and the rights to the intellect. There are some philosophies in this world that believe that any type of pleasure of the body is sinful. That you're supposed to deprive yourselves of pleasures to reach the ultimate, they call it nirvana. You need to overcome every single bodily desire, and that will give you your ultimate pleasure. There are others who are the exact opposite, and they say, the pleasures of the body are the only pleasures worth concentrating on. Islam comes and gives us the middle path. For every single desire of the flesh, there is a permissible route and an impermissible route. Food, drink, sensuality, everything. There is something that is permissible, halal, and there's something that is impermissible. In fact, it is true to say, and listen to this carefully, Allah has not created within us any desire Accept that this desire can be satisfied in a permissible manner, and it can also be satisfied in an impermissible manner. And this is of the beauty of our religion of Islam. The same goes for spirituality. Some trends, some movements, some religions wish to emphasize the spirit to the exclusion of the body. In fact, there is a movement within our religion that says that the body was the punishment to the soul. That the soul was punished by putting it into the body. And so they try to minimize the influence of the body and emphasize the spirit. Once again, that's one side. The other side is to neglect the spirit. And we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are the middle path here. We say that the soul has its rights. And we give emphasis to the soul. How so? By reflection, by dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by re-establishing the connection that the soul had with Allah, because the soul comes from Allah in a manner that we don't understand. Because Allah says, we blew into Adam from our soul, from our ruh. وَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. And so by reconnecting to Allah, the soul is reconnected. And so our religion emphasizes prayer and charity and fast and all of these rituals that are intended to emphasize the soul. And the intellect as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us, do not think. We know there are over 200 verses in the Qur'an. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you think? Don't you ponder? Don't you reflect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges people in the Qur'an. Think about the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the creation of the heavens and earth around you, there are miracles for those of intelligence. Allah wants us to use our intelligence productively. Now once again, there are extremes. There are those who say, don't ask, don't question. Whatever the preacher, the shaykh tells you, no questions asked. This is not the true Islamic methodology. The exact opposite is that of a group of people who say, we don't need religion. We don't need Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for teaching us. We have our brains and our minds can arrive at ultimate truths. And this too we say, no. The mind is like every organ, like the eyes, like the ears, like the physical strength. There's a realm that you can use the mind in. There's a realm you can see in, but you cannot see in the dark. You cannot see 50 miles away. You have a realm, you use your mind in that realm, and you're doing great. If you try to take your mind beyond the realm, you're going beyond what Allah created the mind for. And even this is logical, it's not illogical. The Sharia does not have anything that goes against logic and rationale, but it has things that are above and beyond what logic and rationale can teach us. And there's a difference between the two. So, in our religion, the three faculties of the body, the mind, the soul, every one of them are given their due process and their due weight. And we firmly believe that the good human being, forget the Muslim, the good human being has to emphasize all three of these elements in order to live a fruitful and productive life. And if one emphasizes one to the exclusion of the other, or neglects one to the exclusions of the others, then this person will not live a peaceful and comfortable life. This religion of Islam tells us to live well and moderately and don't go to excesses. It tells us to take care of the soul and don't go to excesses. And it tells us to think and be rational and not be irrational without going to excesses. Indeed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. That this nation of yours, it is the middle, the moderate nation in between the extremes of everything. It is the middle nation, and you have but one God, so and that is me, and so worship me alone. This is the basic message of Islam, and this is the message of Surah At-Teen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that watini was zaytun wa turi sinin wa hadha al-balad al-amin laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqwim thumma radadnahu asfala safilin illa alladhina amanu wa aminu salihati falahum ajrun ghayru mamnun fama yukadhibuka ba'd بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. Our Prophet ﷺ recited the surah once, and he said, it is reported that he said, whenever you finish reciting the surah outside of salah, not inside of salah, outside of salah, you should say, بَلَا وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Yes, you are the wisest of the wise, O Allah. بَلَا, because Allah says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Isn't Allah the most wise of all those who have wisdom? Our Prophet ﷺ said, when you finish reciting the surah outside of salah, you should say, بَلَا, yes, I testify. I am of those who testify that, O Allah, you are the one who is the most powerful and the most wise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who implement this surah, who truly understand it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who give due right to our faculties of the body, the soul, and the intellect. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tada'na fi hadha al-yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu, rabbana innaka raufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma man aradana aw arada al islam wal muslimina bis su'in fa ashghilhu bi nafsihi waj'al tadmirahu fi tadbirihi ya qawiyyu ya aziz. Ibadallah, inna Allah ta'ala amarakum bi amrin bada bihi bi nafsihi وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم.